Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Welcome to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Sam Ben Ruby from the Grape Nation. Today we're broadcasting live from Charleston Wine and Food. We want to thank the Julia Child Foundation for making our coverage possible and to Charleston Wine and Food Festival for having HRN down here for the fifth year in a row. Our guests today are two old friends. I'm not even going to do your last names till the end, all right? It's like Prince or Madonna or whatever. We have Femi and we have Miles from Graft. Graft is a wine shop in Charleston that just celebrated its second anniversary. But even though you guys sit with us, and we may have gone through this before, I don't ever want to, you know, take advantage of the fact that maybe our listeners don't know who you are. So, Femi, you go first, then Miles. Just give me a quick run-up. You know, to what you were doing and how you got to where we are today. And then, Miles, you jump on that question, too.
Man, kind of hard to separate our stories at this point. But a little backstory, Miles and I had been friends for about a decade before opening Graft.
Where'd you meet initially?
We both were working in restaurants together. We started working at a restaurant downtown called the Charleston Grill at the Charleston Place Hotel. Had a phenomenal mentor there, Rick Rubel, the wine director. Great team of people to learn from. Mickey Bax, the maitre d', and Michelle Weaver, the chef. And we kind of cut our teeth there, and working in a really wine-focused restaurant. And our paths kind of started there. They diverged for a moment, and they kind of came back when we had this idea to kind of do what we're doing now. Yeah, it's been phenomenal.
All right, so that was, when was the Charleston Place thing?
So Miles and I met in 2008. It was the summer of 2008.
Okay. Yeah. And then Miles, just fill in your half of the story.
So we got hired to kind of run food together, which was pretty humbling, but great experience. Like Femi
said.
Well,
it was more a miracle that they trusted you to do it, but don't divert.
My sweet mother called in a favor to Mickey, and that definitely got me the job. I remember the first thing Mickey said to me is like, hey, you should probably dress nicer for a job. And I had like a polo on and some shorts, and I probably should have something. But
probably still have that polo.
Yeah. After so when Femi and I kind of parted ways, he obviously remained a really good friend, and we I went to study abroad in Europe and stayed out there for a little while, and then after I graduated from college, I grew up here, I spent my entire life here. It was time for me to I wanted to leave for a little bit because I knew I would come back, and went to the West Coast, lived in Napa, lived in Willamette Valley, worked for a winery out there, went to the CIA, kind of bounced around, and then when I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, I always used to come home, and I guess this thing all kind of bred from Femi and I just having lunch one day.
Didn't you head east for a short period?
I was in New York for a bit, yeah.
Working I always some wanted decent to work for, stuff,
for,
right?
Yeah, I always wanted to work for Danny Meyer. He's been a huge inspiration. So I got a job at the Modern right when Michael Engelman got hired, and he became a huge inspiration. He's the
man. So you worked for Michael how long?
I was at the Modern for like a year, and then Maggie.
Michael's the best,
he's,
right?
He's the man, yeah.
He just left to go to Wine Spectator Tavern.
Yeah. He's a...
kind of different job for him.
He's so smart, and he's like...
He did the Crew Cup. He passed all three elements of the... Master Salmon one legend. Day.
And he's so young, and it was such an honor to work with him.
So you grew up in Charleston or around, or?
Yes, sir. Yeah, like right.
And Femi, just give me a little background on when and how you got here.
Yeah, I am. I moved around a good bit growing up. And wonderful background. Thank you to my parents. I was born in Nigeria. Kind of moved to the States when I was about 2 years old. Landed in Alabama, of all places. My father's an aerospace engineer, so kind of did a lot of NASA.
Tons of Nigerians running around Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So, you know, we were in Huntsville, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, moved up to Cleveland, Ohio for some years, and I went to high school in Northern Virginia, kind of around that D.C. area, and then came down to Charleston for college and was like...
College of Charleston?
Yeah, yeah, College of Charleston and decided...
Did you come here for hospitality?
Or? I came here for women and hospitality, okay. But yeah.
Well, you picked the right place at about 74%.
Right, exactly.
You know, so you didn't do wrong on that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, I want to toot your horns a little because I think it was just last year. I mean, the current reigning year, you two guys won Food & Wine's Best Sommelier of 2019. True?
Yeah.
Collectively?
Yeah, collectively with...
No, there were other people.
Yeah, there were other.
But it's a very small handful.
Yeah,
but it's not
we were the only... We were the only...
Tandem that, team?
Yeah, which I think was really great for us.
What's funny to me is it's sort of a legit SOM award, but you guys technically won it as, like, retailers, as, like, wine store owners.
Yeah,
even though you strive to be an environment and even food and a restaurant and all of that.
I think it's a testament to the culture that we have at Graft. You know, we sell, obviously, retail, but I think the most important conversation about Graft is the... I think that the retail experience is great, and if you can, you know, create an incredible atmosphere in a retail store, that's great. But Graft is kind of unique because it's a very social...
Let's talk about it.
It's so social...
We're talking 2 years to the week almost,
2 years
right?
to the week, yeah.
The week, yeah.
And there was a vibe and a vision that you had,
yeah.
which you were segueing into. Just tell me.
Yeah. You know, I think that... Wine is phenomenal, and wine culture has always been great. Obviously, I got into it. But I think that there are a lot of people that ultimately feel like they don't identify with wine culture or that there's not a seat for them at the table. And so we started asking ourselves, why is that? And we started talking to people about, you know, the things that they didn't, you know, enjoy about going to a wine shop versus, like, just picking
is
up their wine at a grocery
store.
Pre-opening? Pre-opening,
like
yeah. Pre-opening,
about,
yeah,
exactly. Together, it's like, what?
Exactly.
What's it
gonna take? We knew we wanted to create a wine shop, but, you know, we also didn't want to just be, you know, kind of basic about it. Say, okay, we're going to open up a wine shop, here are four walls, whatever. We
so
wanted
you had to list five elements.
Yeah.
You know, on it, like music.
Right.
But tell me what you get when you walk in there.
I think when you get in, you get atmosphere. And, you know, it's not just a wine shop. It's, you know, obviously we have a bar, but the bar was, you know, the bar was introduced to create a particular atmosphere. We wanted it to be convivial. We wanted people to be able to walk in, see people, talk to people, want to hang out and stay, talk to us. Because imagine, you know, my friends visiting from out of town, coming to my shop, wanting to say hi, and maybe they don't want to buy anything. Or maybe, you know, they don't want to take a bottle to go. And it would be so... boring to say, hey, thanks for coming by. See you later.
So you set up every option
you know
for
mean?
That walk.
Like, come hang out. I mean, we're very, yeah.
It's funny, too, because there was never, the intention was to never have a bar. Like, that was, there was, it was never like, hey, Femi, let's open a wine bar. Like, that was never it. It was always a shop. And then we realized in South Carolina, luckily, legally, you can do both. And then when it became that, it was just like, once you kind of start looking around the country at some places that are doing some cool things, like, you see that there's a few, but in a lot of, you know, most of New England, it's not legal. You can't do it.
Right. And when you were thinking about this, it's not like Charleston was chock full of good wine stores or even wine bars.
Right.
There's a few since.
But I think we knew, you know, when we realized that we could create this space that was retail and a bar, and I think from the way that we like to kind of create, you know, whether it's at our house or, you know, parties, essentially, we knew that we could own it. You know, we're like, this is something that, this is an arena that we can play football in, you know, this type of space.
So in the 2 years since you've been open, have things changed or evolved? Have you figured things out that you didn't get early or you added
things? Oh, for sure.
I mean, I think we're still constantly figuring
things out. It's always going to be that way.
I'd never managed anybody. I'd never
worked. So you grew into that.
I'd never worked behind a bar before. I'd never run an inventory. I'd never
looked at QuickBooks before. Yeah, I'm hearing crazy things from a lot of people, but like, don't go by me.
It's to say that we've gotten super lucky seems like a discredit, but I don't mean that to discredit
no,
anyway. Like, I think like the staff we have is they're so unbelievable, and we've lucked out. And like, you know, one of our main focuses is I learned a lot of this obviously, like Femi and I. From like the Danny Meyer perspective, like they are
our greatest triumph has definitely been our staff.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
That's what makes
it
work.
It's been our greatest triumph.
They carry the torch when
Graft
you're there.
Would not be what ever we thought it was going to be or hoped to be, we realized that it was only possible because of the people we hired.
If I gave you today one do-over since you opened that you could change, is there anything that obvious or is there something you would do differently?
You know, I mean, outside of like maybe some things within the space, like, you know, maybe it could be bigger, you know,
or like
maybe we could have like a private tasting.
We would have lowered everything about half a foot because no one's as tall as we are. And maybe
we
added
have a couple of people that work for you that are
changed.
Pretty tall.
Like day one, you know, we opened up during the Charleston Wine and Food Festival 2 years ago. And day one, I think we had 7 wines by the glass because we thought we were a shop that just has a few wines by the glass, you know.
Like, tell me now.
Now we have like
20-something.
30.
And that's necessary because people are inquisitive.
Yeah.
They're willing to try and all of that.
I mean, and we just started adding more and more. It'd be like 1 month we added one, and then another month we added like 2. And then just we realized, you know,
I'm guessing
this bar is
stuff
kicking.
That
we kind of accepted it, that, you know, the bar kicks, the retail kicks.
Right.
And it's just a space that does both.
And you're offering stuff that a lot of people are not, you know, throwing up on the counter.
Well, it's funny, too, because I think one of the things that gets constantly said to me, and I'm sure Femi, too, is, like, people come in the door and they go, you guys, it's a really cool selection. You don't teeter one way or the other. It's like you have all of the great classics. You have some more of the traditional stuff. And then you've got some of, like, the new age, like, more natural stuff. And it's just, and Femi and I, you really limit yourself when you pinpoint to one direction. And it's like, if the wine's good, like, it's on the shelf.
That's the most important thing.
Obviously, it's super subjective, but...
That was just Femi. He emptied some bottles.
Yeah.
So 2 years, you see some changes. What about Charleston's definitely an evolving market. You know, restaurants are adding. Yeah. King Street's going north. North Circle is kind of hot. What changes have you seen, you know, in the market? You sort of answered one of the questions. We used to have 7 wines per glass. Now, you know, that's a change you had to make. But what other stuff in the market and trends or whatever?
That pertains to wine?
That relates to Charleston and, you know, the market around you.
Well, you know, we have a lot.
Which is wine,
too. Yeah, well,
too.
You know, there are an incredible amount of people that are moving to Charleston every day. And so we're meeting a lot of new people. We're having a lot of new residential units kind of being erected throughout downtown. If you see it, I mean, new apartment buildings, new hotels. I mean, we just have an influx of people that are coming in.
Well, I don't know the statistics of it either, but from what I've seen, it's a lot of younger people. Like,
well, that was sort of a segue.
Right.
Is the market being dominated by a younger consumer? Like, I hate to use the word millennials, but is that the guy who wants more choices, you know, by the glass?
You know, I don't know.
Or wants the environment you've created?
I don't know if that it's being dominated, but I will say that I've noticed that a lot of younger people are more emphatic about their wine purchases. So, like, they are coming in and they're treating particular wines almost kind of with the excitement you see behind, like, sneaker culture. Like, people are, like, you know, lining up at shoe stores for the new, like, Nike, whatever.
Their one
release.
Producer got released
and,
that day. Right?
And they have that same, you know, fanaticism about, you know, new growers of wine. Like, you know, for instance, like, and that's, you know, a little bit beyond maybe what I've seen from older generations that will come in and they have the producers they look for. They like to see a nice selection. They like to see these things, but they come in looking for, you know.
What?
People call when they hear that a wine's been released and they'll call.
See if we got it.
And ask for it.
So is that following trends? Like they're reading about stuff or they're
seeing?
I think it's just culture in general.
I think it's, you know, it's sneaker culture, it's fashion, it's trends in a younger generation. People are just really into small. Producers of anything
and small releases,
exactly,
and all that stuff,
and that goes into everything.
Whether
you know?
It's an age thing or not, that's a focus of what people are
interested. Sure.
Do you think launching a business like you did a couple of years ago? Do you think if social media didn't exist, do you think you could sort of get the vibe, the culture, and the feel?
I will
out
say,
there?
And so
both
I,
of you, well, you more than him.
Yeah.
Are pretty good practitioners.
Yeah. So I do all the social media for Graf.
You nailed it.
So I do all the social media for Graf.
Any of that stuff.
Yeah. I do all the social media for Graf. And I will say that like creating our culture, our identity, like Instagram has been. I can't even like begin to like tell you.
So that's my question.
How important.
Imagine life without that.
Right.
You know, you'd have to create it organically.
It gave us literally, and I like being able to use this word. It gave us a channel. to communicate who we are, what we do, and what we're about in a way that maybe we couldn't just do by just being in the four walls of our store.
Right.
And we literally, I mean, we continuously hammer in our culture. We drop playlists every month. We, you know, we are always...
I think kind of circling back to, like, creating a space where our friends wanted to come out even if they weren't into wine. Like, if one of my friends is following us and it's a bottle picture after bottle picture after bottle picture, like, they're not good. They don't want to see that. But if it's like...
See, that's content, but that's bad content and boring content.
It's, yeah, and like...
You know, you guys have some built-in... There's the story of the place. There's the story of you guys. There's the wines.
Right.
There's events. There's the vibe. There's
good
the music,
content. Yeah.
Right?
We try to make sure the content...
You try to accentuate it, right?
You know, like, listen, I know what it's like to scroll through an Instagram feed, and I know what it's like to skip things all the time. So we always try to make sure our posts are things that, like, are... worth your 10 seconds of time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's fun to make. You know, I mean, obviously sometimes it's harder to come up and be creative, but I think we ultimately have a lot of fun and everyone engages us and it's awesome.
Are you diligent? Like, you know, you want to post a couple times a day and you're reaching for something that
in the beginning I felt like I had to be diligent. In the beginning I felt like I had to be really on it all the time. And I think now that we've the car is just rolling. It's rolling and people, they get our page, they understand it. And now we just kind of post when we feel like we need to.
Right.
And it's funny, even from that, like, Kirsten, who helps run the whole place, she's got her own little thing that's kind of taken off. And just to, like, watch that grow and honestly get sometimes more.
So to give you a little background, so we brought on a new girl about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and she's been incredible. Her name's Kirsten, and she's become our manager. And on top of that, you know, we kind of sat down. We had an idea that we wanted to kind of really treat our employees like cast members of, like, SNL, you know, and promote them on our social media that way, like characters
to a different level.
Characters that people become familiar with, like cast members of sorts. And so we came up with an idea of giving Kirsten her own kind of her own Instagram account where she could just post about work, and she would do these weekly tastings. We called it a Keeping Up with Kirsten, like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And
it's brilliant.
Yeah, and she created her own page
different
for
angle,
it.
Different angle, more content, fresher view.
And, you know, she's got her own following.
We don't even have to.
The first month, I mean, I kind of babysat her a little bit, and then, like, she just, like, started ripping and roaring.
And now some of the stuff gets more attention.
So you said it earlier, if you bring the right people in.
But, I mean, it's amazing.
In,
but, I mean,
you got a good place.
And as a business owner, I love it because she's just promoting our wines. So, I mean,
right.
It's great.
It's pretty cool. So we talked about the vibe you wanted to set up there. Let's talk about physical. You walk into Graft, and it's a retail store, and there's a wine bar, or there's a bar to sit around, and then there's some cool seating areas, and there's always good music blasting and all that. Let's talk about the wines. I mean, retail-wise, how much stuff do you have? I mean, you can't have everything you want because of space, cost, whatever. So you're curating a selection of how much wine?
Probably somewhere between 350 and 400 SKUs.
Yeah, between 350 and 400. It kind of fluctuates, but yeah.
Right, and I'm sure that changes seasonally.
But, like, and we have, we might have, like, somewhere like 40, like, Italian reds, and it kind of is unfortunate because we only get to have a section that has, like, 7 Gamay, and, like, so you have to be super judicious about what you pick at what price point, but I think it's more challenging in kind of a fun way because you have to, like, if we're selling a $38 of bottle of Beaujolais, like, in that price point, like, it better be the best one. Or, like, what we think is the best one. And
two things. How do you select? Like, is it stuff you like? Is it what you think the market wants? I mean, is it just you two guys going in the back and saying, this is what we like, let's order it? Or you know you need stuff because it's either seasonal or...
So this, like, is probably going to be, like, a very, like, typical Femi way of answering a question in terms of, like, because I always kind of bring everything back to music. But one of my favorite things to do, like, as a hobby every once in a while, I've done it since I was a kid, is I make playlists. Like, in high school, you could always buy...
Go to the music.
Could always buy, like, my little mixtapes that I would make of, like, all the songs that I was feeling at the moment. And I don't know, there's something that's really satisfying about a complete playlist. You know, when you feel like it represents a vibe or... perspective or energy, etc. And I think when you make, you know, a list of wines or a wine list, there's kind of a point where you're like, this is a complete playlist. So we just try to, I think, complete the playlist. We try to find, you know, producers that we think we're missing or something that we're missing to kind of create a certain effect. I think there's a lot of drama in, you know, our right. selection. You know, it's as you move through it, you know, I think it kind of tells a story. Yeah, for sure.
So I'm,
yeah.
I'm a typical ethnocentric New Yorker, and anything I want is there at a restaurant, at retail, at a tasting. Can you guys get the wines that you want down here? I mean, are there things that you just don't have access to that you know you'd want to have? Because there's nothing wrong with Charleston, South Carolina, the South, but, you know, market size and all. Does that exclude you?
It's more the other way. I mean, there's certainly always things that I want that I can't get, but for the most part, we actually have, like, it almost seems like an abundance of things that are really highly out. Because, you know, in it's a smaller market, people want their wines here. It's a food town. And instead of being 100 accounts fighting over it, like in New York, there's only 3 or 4 here.
Right.
And so, honestly, like, we find ourselves more time than not buying huge allocations that we know we're going to sit on for a while, but you can't say no to them because if it were any other market, people would be tooth and nail over it.
What's exciting you guys right now? I mean, what's in the fridge, on the table, you know, new stuff for Graft, varietal, region, winery. I mean,
I think
people love to hear from guys like you, you know, that's kind of hanging in front of you now.
I feel like personally, like, I know this is, like, we agree on every wine we choose, but I know that there's different things in the shop that we love. Like, the wine that we're drinking right now.
Let's,
like,
talk about
it. I never thought I would.
So I always ask my guests to bring a wine because it's free wine, but more importantly, it's more important to me to look at what you're bringing because it's something that's important to you. So quickly tell me what this is.
Yeah, so Nate Reddy is a super brilliant master somm. When I was working at...
The Beard.
Yeah, he was working at... Because I spent some harvest out at Antica Terra and he used to help blend. And then he started this project right after I left and he's like right outside of Hood River in the gorge. Hayu, Smock Shop, and Sum. And this is a... Feist is the name of the wine.
So Feist is part of Smock Shop?
Yeah, this is...
And Nate also has Hayu.
Yeah, and Sum.
Right.
Z-U-M, yeah. This is under the Sum label, but...
What's in this?
It's...
Is it like a field blend, typical of a lot?
I think it's like an acre and a half lot, and it's own rooted Zinfandel. And he's taken some like ancient varietals from Southwest and Bordeaux and grafted them on the top canopy. I've been there once and the vineyard is insane because it's like Fess and like Cab Franc and Cabernet grafted on the top of Zinfandel and like it's all foot tread on these huge wooden vats and he's doing like multi-vintage blends that but the wines are, you know, he doesn't even like turn over the soil in the vineyard, like
I know
it's, but the wines are squeaky clean and have so much character.
What are you getting on this?
I mean, it drinks like Cab Franc to me. Like it
drinks like what?
Like Cab Franc, like Loire
so
Valley.
So it's a little vegetal and...
Yeah, like it's... But it's... I think it's super... I think the wine's phenomenal. And you taste them all together and like the wines just... When they're by themselves, you can't quite figure them out. And you take... Like we're lucky enough to taste them all together and you're just like, these wines like... Nobody's doing this right now, or nobody's doing it this well.
Is this wine available on the shelves and to buy and pour?
Unless I drink it all, yeah. It's available.
Right. But...
Yeah, we get... Again, like, I never thought I would see this wine in South Carolina, and we get it, and...
It's great. I mean, Nate's been on the show, and he's just a great guy making some great wines. Before I let you guys...
That's fine. I don't know if Femi had anything else to... If you had anything you're excited about.
Man, I love it.
Before I let you go, tell me where people could find out more stuff. Let's talk about social media. If they want to follow the store.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
At Graft.
Yeah.
CHF.
The best way to find us is on Instagram. Graft. So GRAFTCHS, like Charleston.
And I've known you for a bunch of years. Yeah. I like following you. Yeah. Where could people follow you?
Yeah, and you can find me on the gram too, Femington Steel, Femington Steel. You'll find me.
Does Miles even have a smartphone? I mean, where do we follow
right?
him?
He just made his profile like public 2 weeks ago.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
I mean,
like
no
2 weeks
BS?
Ago.
Yeah.
Does anything from this guy rub off on you?
You know,
Miles is like sees it and goes... I'm so happy that you do that so that I don't have to.
I love what it's able to do, but man, I hate it. I'm one of those people. I also don't really like to.
I carry the cross.
I don't like for people to like know where I am all the time, and it's just.
Well, listen, I want to thank you guys for coming in. I don't care what anyone else says. You guys are rock stars to me. You know I love you guys, yeah, and I'll always support you. And thank you for coming. As long as we're coming here and we're doing this and you're in town, you're always welcome on the show. I wish you continued success.
Shout out to Will.
You know, at the store, shout out to Will, who's in Mexico DJing
right now, by the way.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, really. So thank you to Femi and Miles from Graft Wine Shop in Charleston. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network on Tour. I'm Sam Ben Ruby from the Grape Nation. Thanks again to the Julia Child Foundation for making our coverage possible. Stay tuned for more Charleston wine and food, which is again going to be me. Thank you guys, and see you soon.
Thank you.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awele, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.